Welcome to the Second Nature Show. We are happy to join you this week with another guest this week, Stacy Brash Russell. She is a health and wellness coach from the HCI Health Coach Institute, and she also recently won the 10K in 2 months challenge. So we are super excited to have her join us this week. So I have Alex Kobelfrakes and Hello. Donna Masterson, my show co-host. I can never say this. I said that wrong. My show co-host. And so we're just going to jump right in. Donna, would you like to jump in and lead the way this week?
Sure. Stacy, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It's so exciting. Off of the energy and the flow of HCI Live in Austin. It was absolutely breathtakingly amazing. Such beautiful souls. And congratulations again on winning the 10K and 10-week challenge.
Thank you.
We do have some questions for you today. And the first one is, can you please tell us what inspired you to become a health and life coach?
Well, I've been teaching yoga for, at the time that I started my BHC certification, I'd been teaching yoga for almost 17 years at that point. And experience in the yoga world, which I consider to be a wellness, the wellness world, was that over the years, I had the opportunity to have so many, hundreds probably of students come to me either wanting private yoga lessons or just coming to me after class or reaching out to me as a teacher and telling me about how, their health issues, just over time, whether it was like literally like an injury to a shoulder or a knee, and down to sleep problems and digestive issues. And then, people would ask me for private yoga lessons and then want to talk to me really for almost the whole time, telling me about their life, their stress, their relationship, like everything. And so, over the years, I really, first of all, cultivated my own practice of really working with people on their stress. And I became an expert in teaching restorative yoga and relaxation techniques because I would get with people one-on-one that were my students in a regular active class and that were doing vinyasa yoga and really, taking care of their bodies in terms of doing their fitness and their exercise. And then when they meet with me one-on-one, I would find out that their stress levels and their anxiety was so high that what they really needed was for me to help them to relax both with their body and their mind. And so I've really been doing that for so long. And then on the side, my personal life and my personal journey was that I've always been very, very interested in my own health and wellness, in nutrition. I've been seeing holistic nutritionists for years just to keep myself, feeling my best. And I'm also a passionate cook. Like people actually thought that I was like a chef. So, when I started my health coaching certification training, a lot of what was behind that was this feeling that I wanted to start to be able to integrate all of those things together and to really be able to serve the people that were coming to me. I always joke. I'm like, it got to the point where people would ask me for a private yoga lesson and then we'd end up talking the whole time. And I just wanted it to feel more legit. Like I wanted to be like, people were not going to secretly ask me for private yoga because they wanted my attention. And instead I was like, let me actually put something out there that people, could that says like, I'm a coach. So mm-hmm. We're coaching and then we can really look at everything. And so that's what really prompted the beginning of this journey for me.
Wow, what a beautiful segue from being a yoga instructor for all those years. And really people trust you.
Yeah.
They come to your yoga studio and they love what you do. And so what a great client base too.
Yeah, definitely.
They already trust you. And you do right by them and you're certified and you're an amazing health coach and life coach.
I'm just thinking I'm gonna come over for lunch and then like a relaxation. That's what I'm like, how can I
explain
it?
Yeah. Stacey, you said, which was kind of silly and funny for me, I kind of had a chuckle. You said that, you know, you were an amazing cook and all of that. And then you said you serve your clients. I was like, wait a minute. That's so funny.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Stacey, for that. Now, how does that inspiration impact your health and your wellness, the inspiration that you get from the yoga and also that you're coaching?
Well, I mean, for me, from a health and wellness, the inspiration from yoga. Well, first of all, I've always been, I started yoga. I was a professional actress, and I was actually in a show. I was in a musical in San Diego, where we've done some of our conferences, at a really great theater. And they give, when I would work as an actress, you'd go away for like 3 months. Usually the theater would organize for you to be able to have a membership at a gym. And so I had this membership. I remember it was at Frog's Gym in San Diego. And I went to a yoga class. I had never taken a yoga class. And I was, my whole life I was a performer. So I was a dancer. And so, being in my body and being physical was something that was always important to me. And I took this yoga class, and I had that experience that you hear that people have where they go to their first yoga class and they're hooked, and I had that experience. One of the things that I always really connected to with yoga was not just the physical, but also, I'll say the spiritual, but for me, that was not as much specifically like the way the stereotypical spirituality of yoga may look on the outside to people, that sometimes people think it's all about literally like the Hindu deities and stuff. But for me, I just always felt like yoga was this way for me to feel really connected to my aliveness. And I've always been someone who really, like, I always have always responded to thinking of, the universe and the energy of the universe is kind of like what is how I connect to that which is greater. And so for me, yoga was, it was a no-brainer. It just made me feel that I had the physical and the spiritual, and then also the science of how our brains work. And yoga is like, it's really the earliest kind of like psychoanalysis, I mean, my husband's a Freudian analyst, and Freud was really, really fascinated by the teachings of yoga because this is a thousands of year old, practice philosophy that really addresses so much of what we are actually working on as coaches, especially those of us who are coming through HCI, are become a health coach, become a life coach, and then eventually, like, I'm in the mastery program, and we're really learning, neuro-linguistic programming. We're really learning about how our brains, can either serve us to, help us to reach our highest potential, or they can cause us tremendous amounts of suffering. And, and yoga is based completely in the idea that if you don't take care of your brain and your mind, then it's really just going to cause you a lot of suffering. And so this is what we've known for thousands of years. And I hooked into that part of yoga from very early on. So for me, it's been, I'm not saying that my life's perfect. I mean, I've had just as much difficulty as everybody, but I've had this kind of companion with my yoga practice. And I've been a teacher for so many years, and then eventually became a teacher of teachers. I mean, I've been certifying teachers to be yoga teachers for many years. The opportunity that I've had to go so deep into my relationships with helping other people to understand yoga, teaching them the physical poses, but really expanding on my passion for the neuroscience and the spirituality, it has given me such a gift in my own personal health and wellness journey, because it's like no matter what has been going on for the last almost 20 years, inevitably I still have to show up and teach a yoga class. And just by doing that, it always has given me a way to connect to what I know is what works, even at the hardest, literally the hardest times of my life, knowing that like my work is that I show up and teach, you know, has been to show up and teach yoga. And I dream about now my coaching, you know, it's a continuation of that. We get to have this relationship with our clients, you know, and for me, sometimes my students and my clients, which is that, you know, we're in this symbiotic relationship where someone's coming to us and telling us their difficulties, their struggles, what they need help with, what's not well. And we get to draw upon and call upon all of what we know, what we're studying, what we've worked on, the knowledge that we've accumulated. And because we have to draw that out for someone else, it actually is also working on us at the exact same time. Awesome. So it's an incredible opportunity. You know, I feel like it's such a gift that I get to do what I do, because I'm not only helping other people, but the relationship itself is what has kept me basically on track for all these years and will continue to do so.
Oh, that's beautiful. Very beautifully put.
Thanks.
Very beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Now, Stacey, if I was someone interested in your services, how would we work together?
I mean, I do work with the format of coming into a program with me, a 12-week program to start with. I've been working with clients now for, I guess, like I started really having clients formally in March. So it hasn't even been a full year. And because I've worked with individuals prior to that, as a mentor for teachers, and as a, you know, as a private yoga instructor, one of the things that I really do know is that in order to really have some change happen, and it doesn't have to be radical change, even just to feel progress, to feel that you're seeing some sort of shift for yourself, I do think that initially working, you know, in a program that has, you know, a 12-week format, where we see each other every or speak every week, I think it's important, because I think that something shorter than that, I mean, if there's something really specific that somebody just needs, like, you know, occasionally someone will come to me and they really are like really on top of their health, for example, and they really know a lot and but they just want like a sort of a laser focus for like a couple of weeks for me to help them with something, I can do that. But I do think in general, we know that habit change, behavior change, it does take between 66 and 90 days for you to change a habit or to make a new one. And so what I really like is to be able to be with a client for a good enough period of time that we can know that if we set some goals in the beginning, that at the end of a certain period, we'll be able to look back and say, hey, how did we do? So that is something that that I ask all of my clients when they come in to start with at least a 12-week program. And then after that first 12 weeks, I assess and I do custom after that. And I say, so now how do we want to move forward? Do we want to just going and do another 12 weeks? Do we want to move into like an every other week thing, or, you know? And I think that once you have an established base, it's easier to then figure out what is really gonna serve the person. And there's that word again, because I really do think that that's what it's all about. Like, it's kind of weird to say like my program is this, but the reality is that it's really about what do I think is going to make it the most possible for someone to have some sort of outcome that they really like to have, you know? And I don't like to say like, oh, I can do that for you in 3 weeks, or, oh, you know, we can get that done if we just like kind of casually meet up every once in a while. I don't know that that actually works that well.
Yeah, the impact is on that 90-day program. Like you said,
yeah.
90 days to really change a habit.
Yeah, and it's kind of also like, I really like the idea of kind of thinking of things as having seasons. I mean, it's not that those 12 weeks are necessarily going to be exactly like fall and then winter. And then, but the truth is that there's something that we know about that 3 month container. Universe kind of works in that way. There's something about that period of time that feels like, you know, it has some sort of possibility in there. And then it's also not so long that you can't really focus on like what you'd like to have happen in that period of time. So it's like this perfect little, it's a perfect little chunk.
It seems natural, right? I love how you mentioned the seasons.
Yeah.
It's very natural. Like every 3 or 4 months, the seasons change and we move into this new, you know, this new stage of life or this new area that we're seeking to explore. I love the analogy you use. It was wonderful and perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Stacy, in your professional opinion, what is something our listeners can do today that would positively up-level their health and their wellness?
Well, I'm about to give away one of my big, big secrets. It's not a secret.
But, yay.
Well, this is interesting. I'm going to share that before I started my training, a yoga colleague of mine, someone who I've known for years, who lives in Los Angeles, she had just become a health coach, but from a different program, very specifically related to yoga and Ayurveda, the science of Ayurveda. And this was before I did my training, and I was going through a really hard time. I mean, I shared this in my presentation that I gave at the big conference in Austin, but I was going through actually the exiting of my partnership in the yoga studio that I opened. So I still teach there, which is wonderful. I have my students from a very long time, but the business aspect of it was not working, and it was painful. It was painful for me to be going through a breakup, basically. Mm-hmm. And so this friend of mine reached out and she said, hey, you know, I'm running my first group program for my, you know, my health coaching thing. And would you just do it? Would you be in it? Like, you don't have to pay, but I just want some more people. And so I said, okay. And I signed on for this 10-week program, mm-hmm. group program. And it was a really serious habit change program. And very specifically around the Ayurveda science, which in our school, ATI, there's a lot of crossover because Ayurveda is, you know, the ancient science of health and well-being, you know, that comes out of the Vedic text, the same text that yoga philosophy comes out of, and still practiced now in India. If you're just if you're just having your wellness, family wellness, you're going to do that with an Ayurvedic practitioner. And now there's more and more Ayurvedic practitioners here in the States. I have people that I can go to. But anyway, one of the things that I started doing from that program was waking up, not turning on my TV. So there's this like station in New York called New York One, and I love the anchors on it. And so my habit used to be that I'd wake up, put that on, watch New York One, drink a cup of coffee. That was how I did my morning. And from that course, I changed my whole morning routine. Mm. One of the most major things that I did was I started waking up, and I'm a notorious bad water drinker. If you ever said to me like one thing that that you wish you did better for your health, I'd say like drink water. I'm not raised drinking water. Like I grew up in the 70s, in the 80s, and my mom didn't put water on the table. So like I did not become a grown up. Yes. Hands raised. I wasn't raised drinking water. And so even into my like 40s, I was still like a terrible water drinker. And so there was such an emphasis on hydrating when you woke up in the morning. And so I started this habit. I've never missed a day. I just want you to know. I literally never missed a day since March, March of 2017. Never missed one day. I drink 28 ounces of water when I wake up in the morning. Before I drink a cup of coffee, I don't turn my TV on anymore. So now, I also now wake up, I don't even like not having at least 2 hours before I have to actually leave my apartment for whatever my first activity of the day is. So I changed my whole thought around who I am, which was like a night owl. I mean, I'm still a night owl, but you know, I really changed my morning routine. And if I could, if you said to me, what's one thing that you could tell someone to start doing today with one of my clients, whether they come to me from the angle of health or life coaching, which once you're working with someone, it's all mushed together. There's no separation. With every one of my clients, one of the first things I talk about is like, do you drink water when you wake up? Because whether you're coming to me for, you know, to talk about like your career or, you know, just like your connection to like feeling more joy in your life, or if you're literally coming to me because you're not feeling good in your body, either way, one of the most important things that we can do is hydrate our systems after we've been sleeping all night and we're totally dehydrated. And waking our bodies up that way. And I will say that almost every single person that I've ever worked with so far does not drink water as the first thing they do when they wake up. And so I ask everyone that I work with to please become, like I got an email from a client actually just yesterday saying her email was like, you know, following up, you know, day one breakfast, and I'm a water champion. Cause I was everyone to become a like a champion water drinker. I just want to wake up and you know, I drink 28 ounces. That's a large mason jar. My husband and I make mason jars at night with lemon and cucumber in them. This is just our routine now. And that's what a habit is. You create something that makes it, first of all, not only sets you up for inevitable success, makes it impossible for you not to do it. And then once you start doing it and it really integrates, then if you don't do it, you actually feel off. That's how you a habit has actually integrated. And so even when I'm traveling for the conferences, even when we're away, we always find water, bring it to our hotel. And if we can, we get lemon and cucumber just because that's what we like. That's our habit. But we've never missed a day ever since March. My husband does it with me. And I have to say that I feel like it has, I think that it's like in some way that it's been life-changing for me. So that's what I advise everyone to do.
Thank you. What a wonderful bit of advice. Can I ask you, Stacey, you said that you've been drinking the water since March of last year, of this year?
2017.
What have you noticed that's different between before and after?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, the truth is that it regulates your system. That's first of all. So in terms of like, if we're going to get a little technical about like, what's the ideal way for our bodies to be working? Well, you know, we are supposed to, our bodies want to be on a schedule, right? You know, and so for example, I'll start with a client and I'll say, you know, when do you eat breakfast? You know, and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I eat around 11 o'clock at my desk, you know, and I'm like, what time do you wake up? And they say, oh, 7:30. I'm like, that's too long. Like you're not supposed to wait hours till you eat. And then they'll go, but I'm not hungry. And I'll say, well, that's because you've wired your body to not be hungry. But the truth is that you hijacked your body because no one has a different body than like it's science. The science of your body is that you wake up and your body wants to get fuel. It wants to be hydrated and fed within the first 60 to 90 minutes. So if you're not doing that because you don't feel thirsty or you don't feel hungry, it's just because over whatever period of time you've done it, you've completely shut that down or you've hijacked your system, and it's a matter of retraining it. And when you're retraining it, you're actually bringing it back to what it really wants to do, because we know that there's just a science to how the body works, and in your metabolism and your digestion and all of your systems to wake up and get the green light to go and to really start functioning, you have to actually trigger that by doing certain things to basically let your body know that you're like in sync and that you're taking care of it and that you're, you know, waking up. So, you know, when you start your day with water first thing, one of the first things you experience is that your digestion improves, your elimination improves, your whole processing starts to change, because giving your body one of its most essential nutrients, one of the most important things that it needs, and what it needs it the minute it wakes up. So that's one of the things that I noticed for me, was that I started to see and feel that, you know, my system started to feel more, you know, regulated in like a way that feels like it's the way it should be. Like it's kind of in the cycle of a day. You should see your body behaving a certain way from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed. And, you know, it sounds so simple, and it is simple, but if you start your body off with water instead of coffee, and I drink a cup of coffee, but I just don't do it anymore until I've had all my water, and then have my coffee and my smoothie and, you know, and whatever. But I do think that it is just science. It's not like a recommendation. It's not like, look, I think this is a good idea. It just is. It just is what it is. It's like, it's what you're supposed to do.
Thank you. You know, a lot of our listeners are probably thinking in their mind when you're talking about water, oh no, I'm gonna go to the bathroom like 15 times. And that sometimes dissuades people from drinking the water. But share with our listeners that actually that does stop after a period of time.
It does. So it's so in the beginning, it does feel that way. Like it does, you know, you like if when you're first starting to be a water drinker, you do feel like you have to go to the bathroom a bunch of times. But then what happens is when your body actually starts being hydrated. So one thing to know is that when you first start drinking more water than you usually do, one of the reasons why you need to eliminate more is because you're literally hydrating your intestines and your colon, and they start working, right? And then when they actually start getting more absorbed into being more hydrated, then that slows down. Like, in other words, like you literally train your body to use the water and absorb it. So, you know, I agree. I mean, but that's also, I'm just going to say, it's also one of the reasons why it's coupled with learning the importance of waking up with a little more time before you have to leave your house. And that's for many reasons. That's for physical reasons. That's to give yourself, obviously, time to drink your water and go to the bathroom before you're like en route and worried about it. Second, it also gives you time to eat your first meal at home instead of grabbing it like on the go and eating it at your desk while you're working. Yeah. It gives you time to center yourself and to visualize or do something that connects you to how you want to feel, whether that's a little meditation, whether that's, you know, journaling, even if it's just writing down the things that you want to do that day and make sure that they happen, like not a to-do list, but literally like, what do I want to make sure I do today? Or is it a gratitude list? So you have time for those things.
Yes.
You might have to train yourself little by little to push your wake up time back so that you really do become a person who has the time in the morning to do all of the things that set you up for moving out into the world. Once you go out into the world, there's so many variables and external influences that are out of your control. Look, I also know that, like, if you have kids, and obviously even in your home environment, there's a point when you wake up where you're like helping other people, you're feeding your kids, there's a chaos that can happen in the morning, which is even more the reason why, if that's you, you actually still need some time that you wake up before everyone else does. And these are things that you start thinking about when you realize how you want to try and become more in control of how your day goes. So I do think that the water drinking and all the stuff I've been talking about also does couple with really asking yourself if it's possible for you to become a person who gives yourself a little more time in the morning before you actually have to just start, you know, engaging in the things that are outside of your control.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was very beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you have any final thoughts to share?
Are we going to let her talk about the 10K first, and then we'll do final thoughts?
Sorry. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we'll have her kind of wrap up everything.
Sure.
Dom, I think you had a question about 10K.
I do. I found your story just incredibly inspiring when you presented it at Austin. It just really welled me up, and the way you tied the beginning and ending together, you know, with your Broadway experience and The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow, just really, it filled me up. And I'm kind of curious because, you know, as doing what we do for a living, helping people to bring them through their own breakthroughs, I'm really curious to hear like what your personal big aha moment was in going through that 10K experience. I would love to hear that.
And for our listeners, because we have some people who are not in the HCI community, the 10K Challenge is this really beautiful container that our school has created that allows the mastery level students to kind of support each other and go through a challenge to really push ourselves forward in our businesses and really give us a lot of stretch and support. So if anyone who's not in HCI has some questions about that, they can put them on this video and we'd be happy to answer any of those little details. But yes, the aha, I would love to hear that.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to say there's many ahas, but I'm going to give you what has been really how I've really needed to spend this whole week, actually, what I've been processing, and an unexpected level of transformation for me. And this is what I want to say that as a coach that gets to continue to be in, in the mastery program now, right? I'm halfway through. That one of the things that is, you know, a huge part of that is not just learning how to be, you know, a coach for other people, but it's also doing this really deep and profound training for ourselves, right? Because we take our clients as far as we're willing to go for ourselves. So for me, I prepared for this presentation and, did it. And before we even heard the winner, just that night, on the night of the presentation, before the winner was announced, immediately, and I know I wasn't the only one who experienced this, the other four incredible women also experienced this, that, 700 people in the audience started, felt like every one of them wanted to come up and give me a hug and look me eyes. People had tears in their eyes, and the things that people said to me ranged from, I felt so connected to your story, or you really spoke to something personal for me, or they just said I found you so inspiring, or they said I just felt like I loved you from, and hugging me and telling me just how genuine they felt I was. And so I start getting all of this really, really like overwhelming reflection, this positive energy back. Then I won on Sunday. And then, so that continued. And then I came home and it continued, right? I mean, all these people reaching out to me on Facebook and then even just my own community, right? That were here rooting for me, that don't even know, they don't even go to, but they knew that this was such a big part. And I noticed that on Monday, when I came home, that I actually started to feel this resistance to how much goodness I was receiving. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I started to feel not annoyed, not like, this is so annoying, so many people want to like tell me they love me. I actually started to feel like people, I started to think like, oh my God, this is crazy. People are like losing their minds. Like this, they don't need to be telling me so many things about how much they love me. This is crazy. People are crazy. They're overdoing it. They're making too much out of it. And I literally started to feel myself basically capping or putting a limit on how much I was entitled to receive, or how much I deserved, or what I was allowed to get in terms of the goodness. And that was one of the most unexpected feelings. Like I had, like when, and I'm so grateful for the work of TCM and for the fact that I had to show up and teach yoga classes because what I actually realized, and another sort of, I don't know if we want to say it's a paradigm, I guess it's a paradigm of our coaching school, is the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Yeah. And I actually had this moment where I was like, Stacy, this is a critical moment where you are noticing that you actually think that there's a limit to how much goodness you're allowed. And that means that you have a limit on it in every area of your life, money, career, you know, love, connection to that, which is greater, health, whatever it is. I was like, that means you've got a limit on what you think you're allowed to have, and you better get on that, because you got to open up that limit. You got to take the cap off of it. You got to stretch out that perimeter, because you can't live your life feeling like there's a limit to how much goodness you can receive. That was massive. It was massive. So if I could tell you what my biggest aha or takeaway was from that weekend, it was that there is so much abundant love and support and being seen and feeling connection and having people actually, you know, feel inspired by me. I mean, all the things that I experienced, I realized that I don't have to feel that there's only a limited amount of that. And that is my biggest takeaway, because it makes me feel, I literally feel nothing to do with winning, nothing to do with the prize or the money. I literally feel like it let me know that I'm in control of being able to make what is possible for myself limitless.
I love that. And when we look at the universe, like a mirroring universe, we talk about that a lot in HCI. When people are inspired by you, and because you're showing up, it lets them know that they can show up. And when those people show up and they take that back to their community, they let other people show up. So really, if we all can stretch ourselves in that way, we're really inspiring other people to see themselves in that way.
Yeah. I also, one other aha I would love to share with you, if it's okay, do we have time for one more?
Yeah.
So another really incredible thing was that I was completely taken aback by all the different kinds of people that were coming up to me. You know, I called my husband and I was like, you know, we have a few Marines, you know, that are part of our tribe, right? Ex-Marines. And I said to my husband, I was like, you know, an African-American male ex-Marine hugging me with tears in his eyes and saying, I felt so connected. You were speaking to like, to my story, and I was like, and you know, please take this the right way. I said to my husband, how is that, like, this, like, you know, white Jewish actress from New York and this like African American ex-Marine man, and that he was hugging me and telling me that there was like this heart connection. And that just continued to happen all weekend with like every, you know, because when you're a coach and you're trying to set up your business, you know, you're encouraged to really try to figure out like, what's your niche? Like, who's your niche? Who's your ideal client, for example? And I'm not saying that I was saying, oh, now these are all my clients, but it was a really interesting experience to realize that like, that my possibility of touching, reaching, connecting with so many more people than I really realized, like, you know, that like, that was a huge aha for me. Just like, you know, men, women in their 20s coming up to me, telling me what they related to, you know, women in their 60s coming up to me, you know, all races, all nationalities. It was unbelievable. It was an incredible experience. In yoga, we always talk about like feeling like we're oneness, one with everyone. You know, we talk about that sort of feeling that you're connected to everyone and everything. And I think great ideas, but it doesn't always feel like you know what that actually feels like. It's like your mind, you're like, oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. But I don't know that we always get to actually experience it, like really experience it on like a on a person-to-person level, and I actually felt like that was what I got to experience on that weekend.
Yay.
Thank you. That was awesome, Stacey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stacey, take us back again to right before the 10K, 10-week challenge. I actually saw a Facebook Live post that you posted before you actually went on stage. And you made a couple of statements within that post. And you said, we get to make the decisions about how we want our stories to unfold. And whether you like it or not, you get to decide what to do about that. Can you please expand on that?
Absolutely. A lot of my story, a lot of my life experience has been having to shift gears. You know, in my presentation, and I won't go too much into it, but you know, I was a professional actress. I lost my father when I was a teenager, and that just set off it was just the catalyst for a lot of events that then happened in my life that ultimately just made it that continuing to pursue that career. There were many reasons why, financially, even just sort of like what I was able to, you know, to emotionally withstand in show business, the instability of that. And so then I shifted and I became, you know, a yoga teacher. Not even purposefully like sort of abandoning my acting career, but just the way that life goes, you create priorities that you have to focus on. And then it took me a really long time to find my husband, you know, like I was that person in their 30s who so desperately wanted to like be married and have a family. And, you know, and I was single in New York City doing internet dating and, you know, and then I met my husband and now I have the person I'm supposed to be with. And then we met so late that, you know, we then had to do fertility for many years and spent a lot of money and didn't end up being successful. And then owning a yoga studio turned out to not be the best situation. And so I shifted and I started my coaching, you know, training and career. And so what I meant by that was that I could easily look at many of the things that have happened in my life and feel like the universe has actually shot me down many, many times. That I, you know, that I've had all these things happen to me and that, you know, I don't have the life that I, you know, I don't have everything that I always like thought that I might have. Like I don't have a Tony Award. Right now I don't have a baby. Like there's things, you know? But I get to decide what meaning I'm going to make out of all of these things that have happened to me and what I want to do with them. And the thing you watched and my Facebook Live series, which started right after the retreat that I went on, my first one in my mastery training, is called Life is Hard, So What Are You Going to Do About It? And it's not meant to be like nasty. It's not meant to be like, yeah, life is hard, so like, what are you going to do about it? But it's meant to be like, life is hard. Like, nobody's going to say that their life is easy. Nobody feels like their life is easy. Life is hard. It keeps challenging us. It keeps... Every time something has to change, it feels like, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to change? I finally just got things in a groove, or, you know, why can't I have what I want? It seems like everybody else has what they want, you know? So life is hard. So what are you going to do about it? And that Facebook Live right before I went on stage, I was really thinking about my speech, thinking about, you know, what I was coming up there to do and really feeling like I want everyone to know that it is possible for you to decide. Like it's a decision. It doesn't magically happen that when you're having difficulty that you just can sit there and wait for it to go away. And it's always a grieving process. If you're grieving, there's always a process of having to sort of figure out how you're going to be in action next. But the bottom line is that when it comes time, when it is a decision that we make. It is a decision. We decide I'm going to now take action and move forward. And at first it may feel like, you know, may feel crummy, right? But bottom line is that we do get to decide what meaning we're going to make all the things that have happened in our lives. And I just stopped myself from saying all the things that have happened to us, because it's easy to think that things happen to us. And even when we use the phrase, it can feel yucky, I think, to say like, oh, everything happens for you, because then I'm going to say to you, oh, really? Like my dad dying happened for me. So hard things to process sometimes, but at the end of the day, when things happen, whether they're to you or for you, you are the one that gets to decide, what do you want to do with that? Like, how are you going to move forward? You know, do you want to just live in the past of suffering, or do you want to believe that it's possible for you to create more of what you actually do want? And so that was what that post was about. I really do believe that. And I really have lived that myself. And that's why that my speech was what it was. And that's what I really try to help all of the people that I work with. I, this is what I teach in my yoga classes, I work on with my clients, is, you know, at the end of the day, I get it. I get that it's hard to do the things that you know are going to be, you know, good for you, or that you know are going to help you to shift and start moving your life in the direction that you'd actually really like it to go in. It doesn't feel easy all the time, but you make a decision. And then if you have a coach, help you figure out what you want to do about it, and then help you do it. And we all need help. It's hard to do everything by ourselves, but that's what that was about.
Oh, that was beautiful. Hey, you know, I think I just found the title to your New York's bestseller list, and it's Life is Hard, ... What are you going to do about it?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be my TED Talk, my book. Like, believe me,
at our retreat. I'm telling you. Yeah, I just saw it. I'm like, yeah. I see this.
At our retreat, I'll just say that, like, you know, at the retreat I was on in July, which was my first retreat for my mastery program, all of this really has evolved for me. A lot has evolved for me from that. And I got to do a lab, you know, I got to an exercise, a skills lab with some other coaches and, with one of my coaches, Alice, and I, you know, we went on a break and I went to the restroom, and that title literally like popped in my head, and I was like, oh my God. And then, you know, at the end of the retreat, we all wait to see like our teachers, Stacy and Carrie. And I got to, you know, see Carrie, and I went up to her and I was like, explode, you know, I was like, oh, I had so many revelations. And I was like, and I realized that like, I have to do my Facebook Live series, and it's called Life is Hard. So what are you going to do about it? And I like, you know, it was so right for me. It just feels like, if I had to encapsulate, you know, with love, I want to make sure that I say that. It's with love. You have to make a decision, and I'm telling you that with total love and total support. You know, I know it sounds harsh, you know, but it's with love, because that is what we need. We need for someone to say, like, listen, you just got to do it. Like, you just got to figure out, like, what is it that you want? And then you're going to figure this out, and we're going to do it. Because your alternative is to just live in this feeling that, like, nothing's possible, nothing's ever going to change, that you can't do anything, and you feel powerless, and you feel helpless, and you also feel like you're stuck with sometimes a life that doesn't feel like it's actually going to be providing you with the kind of connection, happiness, and joy that you dream about. Mm. Yes. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Start.
This has been so awesome. We're coming up on an hour, so we really appreciate the time that you have given us today, the insight into your mind. It's been brilliant. So I'm curious if you could leave our listeners like with what is your final thought, a final gem, a piece, maybe to kind of pull it all together.
I mean, I think that our last little section here really could be that, which is, you know, that I mean, this is not only my clients. This is really about my friends. You know, I have, still have really great friends from when I was growing up. I've always been the person that people feel that they can, you know, share their stories with, their challenges. I'm 50 and I have so many friends, and I know that something that happens sometimes in your 40s and your 50s is that your relationships change. People that I know going through divorce, going through even empty nesters, all of a sudden your purpose of being a parent is kind of like, now what do I do? So the thing is that I want to leave everybody with what I really do, what I just said, which is that, you know, don't ever let the fear and the overwhelm of not exactly knowing what you need to do or how you're going to do it. But when you have the feeling that you know that you have to make a change, whether it's been forced upon you or whether it's just something that bubbles up and you're like, wait a minute, I need to make a change. Don't ever let the fear of change, because we all have fear of change. It's just built into our brains. Don't ever let that fear keep you from taking whatever the first step would be to getting into action. And that might be asking someone for help or support or telling someone that you know that this is something that you need to do. But what I know people do is they bottle it up inside and they just have this like quiet suffering. And I want for everybody to know that quiet suffering is not what your life is meant for you to be doing. And that's what I'll leave everybody with. I do believe, like, life is hard. What are you going to do about it? Well, the first thing that you're going to do about it is be okay with that life is hard, and then tell somebody, I think I need to start figuring out what I'm going to do.
Perfect.
So good. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week on the Second Nature Show. It was a pleasure having you, Stacey. Oh my gosh, I just love you.
I'm so honored. Thank you.
Glad you've been here. And so I'm really curious, where can our listeners find and follow you?
So, I have a website, which is www.stacybrassrussell.com. And I'm on Facebook as myself, and I have a business page, which is Stacey Brass Russell Wellness. And I am on Instagram as myself as well. I do post on Instagram things like I think a little inspirational, motivational tones on there. And like I said, I am currently, until I can be as cool as you guys and have a podcast, I am doing my Facebook Live series. Each week I come on and I do an episode. Life is hard, so what are you going to do about it? And I try to share something that I, you know, think will be thought-provoking and helpful for anyone. It's, you know, so those are the things at the moment that people can find me doing.
Brilliant. And we'll keep our eyes out for that podcast because it's going to be a good one. So awesome. Awesome. Dom, where can our listeners find and follow you?
CoachDomCampbell.com is my website, and if they search Facebook, same, Coach Dom Campbell.
Brilliant. Donna, what about you?
Donna at DesiredStateCoaching.com, and also my Facebook, Donna Masterson.
Awesome. And you can find and follow me at FullyAlignedCoaching.com, Fully Aligned Coaching on Facebook. On Instagram, I am Alex, A-L-Y-X, the Fully Aligned Coach. And you can find and follow us at The Second Nature Show on Facebook. And you can also come subscribe, help our YouTube subscriptions, guys. Come find us on YouTube. And then if you have any questions, something that piqued your attention or that you're curious about, you can either respond underneath this post or you can send us an email at secondnatureshow@gmail.com. So we really love to answer anything that comes up for you guys and keep the conversation going. We learn so much by engaging with each other and really continuing to grow our community. So be sure to tune in next week on Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And remember, if you change your habits, you can change your life. Thanks, yes. Guys.